Are we here? I mean, it doesn't look like there's much here but moonlight and desert.
I mean, I think we're at the coordinates she gave.
Well, there's a creaky old building over there.
I mean, that crumbling, creaky old barn?
Yeah, that's probably enough terrible expository dialogue to describe it.
Whoa!
Welcome to the new tribulation, inspired by you, O gods of the new way, Cooper, Adam. Join us! Join Greg and Deity! Join us!
Did she say gaiety or deity?
Yeah, she needs to enunciate more.
What is this? Look, there's a path of flower petals on the floor.
Weird. What a waste.
The door to your right. Follow the perfect, pretty petal path of sorry explosives.
Don't do it, guys. It's a trap.
Now, Greg, don't spoil the surprise. Come on in.
What the? Is this floor fluffy?
Embrace the light. Embrace your destiny.
Sarah?
The glory that is to come. Let us start and end your trepidation.
Tribulation.
What is that noise?
I know, right? How cool is that? A whole creepy, crumbling old barn and nothing but desert and moonlight full of tribbles that I'm wearing them. Who needs clothes when you can wear tribbles? I command them, be one with them all. Oh, they do tickle a bit, but they're so charming. See what I did for you? I understood the message of your podcast. I heard your plea for a tribble. Gentlemen, disrobe and cast off the shackles of all that you know, all that you are.
Did she just say
you
disrobe?
You are now gods of this first earth-rebound tribble nation.
Tribulation.
Help! Guys! Help! Guys!
Greg, where are you?
I'm being calmly and serenely tribble-birthed to death.
Are people gonna get this tribble thing if they're not Star Trek fans?
Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Adam Janke, and I am the creator and writer of Tribulation.
Hello, I'm Cooper Skinner. I'm the sound designer for Tribulation.
And I'm Greg Cooler, producer and sometimes director and other things, Tribulation.
Hooray! And I'm Sarah Golding. Huge welcome to all of you. And I don't know if people have not listened, they must stop this program now and listen to Tribulation. It was come out last year, and I think it's one of the most fun things to listen to. What genre would you describe it as, folks?
It gets classified under horror a lot because it's definitely creepy, but it's not exactly science fiction. It's a weird cosmic suspense journey into the mind.
Oh, yeah.
Supernatural.
That sounds good.
Yes.
That should be on your T-shirts. And Greg, as producer, how did this come about? Ooh. What kind of steps were in place to make Tribulation happen?
It was a long process in the beginning, I think. You know, myself and my colleague David, who, you know, he's our co-producer of Tribulation. He actually, you know, came with the idea to delve into podcasts, and we were working with Adam on some other writing jobs. And it all started, I think, it started with one episode. It was never supposed to be a big, you know, a series. It was just one episode. We wanted to try it out. 0 Mile Media is a part of Listen Up Audio, which is primarily we produce audiobooks. So this was a delve into a new world for us. Audio drama, this was a much more exciting world. And getting into Adam's brain has been exciting and scary.
Oh,
and
it's exciting and scary for me.
Brilliant. So from one episode, how did it end up then as a 10 episode plus a little extra?
Yeah, it started with the one thing, which was supposed to be just a short story, sort of a proof of concept of what we could accomplish. And after I wrote that first episode, everyone sort of turned to me and said, wow, that's cool. Now what happens? And I thought, I have no idea because nothing else is supposed to happen. But I don't know. Let me go back and think about this. And yeah, from there, it just sort of took a bunch of left turns. And the more I started adding characters into it, the more it sort of told me where it needed to go.
Obviously, it developed into its season. So can you just talk us a little bit through how then it came to fruition and published online and so on?
It kind of, well, of course, became my job as producer to start bringing it to fruition. So we had a great script. And I think, you know, Adam said he took a bunch of left turns and that is essentially what I would call a snowball effect. We just kept rolling with it. You know, just in the production process, we started casting roles. Funny side note, I, Greg, actually in the very first iteration of Tribulation played Greg. Obviously, next step was just casting the roles, getting everyone in place. And then, you know, down to recording. So at that point, you know, we started recording episode one and got episode one out there. And then it was, you know, clear that we wanted to do that and do more. And so Adam got to work with writing. And at that point, we kind of, you know, grouped each episode together and then planned it in terms of like uploading. You asked about, you know, we just kind of started planning our release date. And I think by the time we released, we were halfway done.
With regards to your casting, do you use local folks to, is it Atlanta where you're based, isn't it? So where did you look for your casting?
Casting was all done in Atlanta. You know, it was important to us just with the format of audio drama, having everyone in the room and playing these scenes out. Mm-hmm. So it was much more akin to film than to, you know, what we normally do, which is voiceover and audiobooks.
The first episode, we recorded Fleet, who plays Magus, separately,
yes,
because he was on the radio, and so we wanted that to be recorded like its own individual broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. You know, our mini episode, our broadcasters, all of those are kind of done in separate pieces as well.
Where have you actually recorded this then? Do you have a purpose-built studio, or did you go out on location? What kind of places were you recording?
We have our studio in Atlanta, East Atlanta here, Listen Up Studios. So we have a live room here. We also have another location that we work at called Magical Lantern in Atlanta that's got a larger, you know, live room and ADR room. And that's actually where we started with episode one, was recording at Magical Lantern. I want to say all subsequent recordings have been done at Listen Up.
We went back to Magic like a few times, twice, but most of it's been here.
It's a whirlwind, man. Yeah, yes. The majority of the first season was done it in Listen Up. So yes, everything was done in live rooms and large, you know, recording studios. We didn't really do any on location. That was something Cooper and I talked about a lot. We, you know, Cooper built all of those atmospheres.
Do you have fixed mics, or were people moving around the space?
Yes, we have all fixed mics. I don't know how much you nerd out on this show. I honestly.
Oh, go for it, please. Yeah, nerd away.
Everything's recorded with Neumann TLM 103. microphones, U87s for some of the first few episodes. So that's, yeah, we all fixed microphones. You know, narrators were, you know, the actors were not moving around that much. You know, we kind of catch all of the body movement and the physicality separately as we can.
And how did you control these crazy actors? So did they behave themselves? What? Come on, give us the deal.
Tell us some stories, Greg.
Fast and loose. Yeah, good question. I don't know. I do not know. I think I blacked out for a few months and came back and we had an amazing show. No, that's we were lucky, I think, to have a lot of great talent. You know, with Listen Up, we have a large pool of really great voice talent that we work with on a daily basis, and then just in the Atlanta community in general. You know, there's a lot of great voice actors here that we reached out to for the first season.
Particularly early on in the season, a lot of the episodes were two, no more than three actors or characters at a time. But then as the season wore on, we did have bigger group scenes. And so there were a couple days where we had everybody here, and those were kind of hard to
No, it was fun. Yeah. It was fun. We were in the midst of producing a lot of audio, and Adam would write a script. And he's like, well, here's three more characters. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. No problem.
Exciting.
Let's find those.
So, Adam, you were there listening to the recordings and adding as you went along as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was here to answer any questions that anybody had, any of the actors or Greg or David or anybody. Occasionally, maybe we just need to fix the dialogue on the fly because, you know.
With regards to like your massive sort of group chanting scenes and things, so that really sounds very atmospheric. So how many people would you say you had involved in those kind of things, and how did you manage that?
Okay, I think our largest group scene, we probably had, I think we had six actual human beings in the studio, six to seven at our largest scene. In episode one, you know, the congregation, that was a pretty large scene. 5 to 6 people.
And how did you rehearse those folks? Did they, you know, give them timing and otherwise to speak together and so on? How much rehearsal went into things before you then did the takes?
The congregation scene, I will honestly say not a lot of rehearsal went into that. It was kind of, I grabbed a bunch of engineers and a few voice actors that were around the studio that day, kind of handed them a script and went to work. Just kept the best. That's the beauty of post-production now, especially with voice. We were able to get something. And a lot of, you know, we're lucky to have a lot of experienced engineers and people that are used to working in this environment on a regular basis. Yeah. So
You're spoiled.
We're definitely, we're totally spoiled. to backtrack on that though, the actors, the main scenes, those are definitely well rehearsed. We have table reads ahead of time. And then, you know, we generally do a rehearsal take before we start our actual live takes for the recording.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I think, you know, the sound designers are heroes. And I think, Cooper, you've just produced a really fantastic sounding show. I think just how you can convey a sense of place by just very intricate the dropping in of a few signal sounds and things. Just, it was really wonderful to listen to. And I just wonder if you can kind of give some of your top tips on how you create a sense of place using sound, because some people, I think, yearn to grasp a little bit more on how they can improve that.
Thank you for those kind words. It was a collaboration between the whole group. I'd have issues sometimes where, you know, the sound aspect of the script wasn't really working. So I'd have to maybe ask advice to Greg or Adam, maybe rewrite some lines to actually convey the space a little better, give a little hint of where we're at. So a lot of the writing actually helped the sound quite a bit, just to give a little sprinkle of where we are through the dialogue. And but a lot of the tricks and tips that I use are, it could be done with, you know, on location recording pretty well, but I had to kind of build stuff up from scratch sometimes just to, because we did a lot of the recording, you know, in the studio, but
sterile.
It sounds pretty sterile when it's just all recorded nicely in a damped room, but, you know, just adding a little bit of reverb and delay here and there and the EQ and just even adding ambiences in the background really helps to glue things together.
After the first script was written and we started to produce more, I realized I had to break the mold of how I was thinking about audio production, and that we didn't necessarily want all of the ticks and little foibles that humans do when we're talking to one another in the recordings, but it needed to be there to make it feel real. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we worked on a lot early on, just establishing a real sense of space with the scenes. It was, I feel like really early on in this first episode, we did spend a lot of time just trying to make it feel real. The first two, especially, just creating those different atmospheres. And Cooper is, in my opinion, a master of that. He's a master of taking just the verbal diarrhea that comes out of myself and David's mouth and out of Adam's brain and bringing that to fruition. And I'm not, you know, that's hats off to him for that.
We had an episode where it's basically our characters, Reed and Stacy, talking for the entire episode, and they're in a hotel room. That's the most boring environment you can put two characters, because it's specifically designed to keep out ambient sound. So I had to sort of go back in and put stuff for them to do to create sound. Mm-hmm. And that's why I also threw in the detail of Reed being a musician, carrying instruments around with him so that he could have a keyboard that he could mess around with.
Adam started to write more with that in mind. So just talking about the learning curve, like after those couple of episodes, it was like, okay, I feel like every script after that, it was much more, you had thoughts. Much more of a thought given to how it should sound and where we're our actual atmosphere. It
makes my job easier.
Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a skill, isn't it, to be able to kind of have in your head what other people need to do with those words to make your script the best it can be. So would you say you've changed your writing process and because of having worked on this a little?
I think I have, actually. It's, I don't know, I think that the scripts that I've been doing now are maybe a little less detailed in terms of the specific thoughts of the sounds, because now that I've worked with Cooper for a year on this, I know what he's capable of. Here's the general idea, and Cooper's going to go, oh, great, perfect, and he's going to make something amazing out of it.
I just want to talk about, for example, the right at the beginning, actually, is when we first meet the two of the main characters. And they're in the car, you're having that, so you've got the rustle of clothes you can hear, there's the radio tuning, and then there's the moments where it kind of goes outside the car, and then we go into the radio, into another place where the radio recording is happening, perspective, and then back kind of into the car again. And I think it's all done really seamlessly and very clearly signposted. And to me, that was sort of one of the standout moments very early on to me, that I thought, oh, this is, they've spent time on this. This is good fun. I know where I am visually. I can work out what's happening.
I just feel like all of us kind of hit our stride on near like the middle of the season. And I think the sound design really started to click, and there's a scene where they're in the mental hospital, and there's a couple cool scenes with, you know, electricity and traveling in different spaces, different, you know, you're here 1 second, then you travel to another place, and you have to kind of switch up the sound design quite a bit to, you know, have something visually come up in your brain. So it's always a good challenge.
And what are your favorite go-to toys in the sound design door to kind of manipulate sound to make it do these kind of things? What are your favorite things to play with?
As far as plugins, I like to use the GRM tools. They're just kind of like a avant-garde type plugin bundle that does a lot of strange sound warping.
There's a few of those in Tribulations.
Yeah, they're sprinkled in there every once in a while. I just kind of process a lot of things beforehand, so I can just plop it in the timeline and Pro Tools. And, you know, a lot of the work, surprisingly, is done by equalizers and just kind of creating the space with reverbs and delays and, you know, room emulation type software. So the presets that you can kind of go to just to get things rolling, but it's always kind of nice just to find your own, you know, aspect on where you want to go with it.
I just wonder how you can describe how you build the tension, because I think that is another thing that you do beautifully in sound.
There's a lot of textures that I kind of bury in the background a little bit, and there's some type of score every once in a while with music kind of textures that kind of convey a little bit of tension, you know, a lot of low frequency stuff when it needs to be, just to kind of have an unsettling type atmosphere, but try to keep things kind of subtle and kind of let the dialogue play the big part of the role, since it's the main character.
How much do you work with the producer and people beforehand on the sound design before you even get to a studio?
Yeah, we all just kind of get together, and I kind of, you know, ask Adam what's happening this episode, what should I prepare for, and we go through the script together, and Greg and Adam give me little pointers of where they want things to go, and kind of take that and, you know, get a temp session roll in, ask them, is this kind of where you're thinking about? And just kind of go back and forth until it's finished.
And how many days is it for production for one episode?
We might have like two going at one time, but nothing crazy with a bunch going at once.
So time scale from knowing what the script is, having had that meeting to getting it done, how many sort of days production work did you have on the episode?
They pushed me too fast. I had no time. I'm just joking. They're nice.
He's not joking. I feel like you produced an episode, because generally we blocked out recordings. I probably did recordings After the first, we did them roughly 2 to 4 episodes at a time. I think our final recording session was like the final 4 episodes. I think the rest were all like 2 sessions at a time,
yeah,
I believe.
About right.
All of that gets done at once. So we say that's 2 days for recording or a day for recording. And then I think a week and a half at most.
Yeah.
Like basically we'd have a proof of, say, episode 2 and Cooper's working on episode 3. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there were episodes generally working in conjunction with each other.
Certainly the first episode is the one that took the longest because we went back and forth and tweaked it.
We could say the first episode took a year.
Yeah, pretty much did.
I mean, no joking there. I mean, it took a while. And we all, again, we learned a lot and just established what we wanted it to sound like up front and brought Cooper in. I mean, that was, you know, that happened later on in that process.
A lot of people do say that they didn't understand really how long it takes to, you know, create your end product. So basically you looked at least, other than your first episode, at least a week per 20-minute episode then.
I think that's...
So, yeah, that's... Which is, you know, that's a lot more than some people would imagine, yeah.
It's recording and then sitting down. Generally, David and I would discuss with Adam or, you know, amongst ourselves at that point, just other little general pieces of how things should sound. I'd throw an idea. Mm-hmm. He'd say it was horrible. He'd throw an idea. I'd say it was horrible. And then we'd go from there. And then
you'd must mud wrestle, yes.
And then... Well, then we'd sit down usually at that point with Adam and Cooper or just Cooper, you know, within the studio and just talk about those things. And like I said, just that's why I say him being a translator of ideas, doing that so well. It's, again, we can just sit there and talk about, well, this should generally sound like this, or we want this little piece here. This should be there. But at that point, the dialogue edit is being done or is done. And then it's the fun of adding in all the elements.
Brutally cutting dialogue when we were doing those dialogue notes, because I tend to overwrite to a embarrassing degree.
It's really good that you use, you know, quite a lot of collaboration, it seems. You know, you're not insular workers. You are very much part of an ensemble making this. And I think that's a brilliant model, really. And what kind of problems did you come across in your development?
Well, just from my point of view, I guess I wasn't really sure how we were going to stretch this thing into a series after that first episode, which was supposed to be self-contained. And then it took me quite a while to wrap my head around it and to write that first season, because I made a lot of wrong turns. Once I finally got into the groove of it, it happened pretty quickly. But that is why we had to sort of scramble in that first season and put out a little mini episode halfway through.
Yeah,
everybody was caught up except for me. People were waiting on me.
But that was a cool development for the sheriff, wasn't it, to have a little monologue there? So that kind of was nice for him.
We loved what he did with it when he came in. And so when we did get stuck, we thought, let's bring him back, because that's just easy and it'll be fun to listen to.
So don't be afraid to bring back characters you've used to help you in your production process. There you go.
Yeah.
Improvise around. Good stuff. Yeah.
A time crunch. I mean, just time was really the only, I think, the biggest issue is trying to keep up.
Oh, and actually going back to your point, that's the other problem with writing this show is we will cast somebody who is great for a single episode, and then by the end of that episode, they're dead.
I live in fear the other way around. I have a few recurring characters, and I just keep asking, do I die in this one? I'm just worried to be killed off. With regards to marketing as well, because this is something that people really obviously need and yearn for some golden magic advice. What would your advice be to people who want to get their show out there?
I feel like we are asking for advice.
We are asking for it's funny you ask, because we are actually right in the middle of kind of revamping our marketing strategy. We've marketed it very little.
When we put the first one out in May, we literally just dumped it onto iTunes without any sort of fanfare. Anything,
because
we didn't really know who to fanfare it to.
The basic advice is always the grassroots approach. Don't overlook that. Use social media to get it out there.
Artwork is striking and good, and I think that was you know, quite easily recognizable in amongst the sea of various, you know, pictures. And I do feel that it just sort of gained traction, and I think I personally liked it, and so threw it out a few times, and other people, I could see them, you know, referencing it on Twitter and so on. So yeah, I think there is a lovely, very supportive audio drama community, and if you can get them on your side with a good product, then, you know, it will just spread like wildfire is one of the things. But yeah, you've got the good product, so I don't see why it shouldn't be even more exciting this time. But season two is in machination. What's happening? When's it out?
Yes.
What stage are you at? Come on, spill.
I don't know. Where are we at, Greg? What can we say?
A summertime release. That's the goal right now. We're putting a couple of events together locally to build up some steam, but Adam is hard at work writing, and I can say that I have the first half of season two in my possession, and it's I'm really excited. We are well entrenched in tribulation, and I'm excited. I made it through the last script Thursday night. We're steadily and heavily in pre-production right now and writing.
Exciting. So if you made enough money to send out a three competition for voice actors to try and audition for you, and then you play for flights for them to come from the UK, would you be doing anything like that?
Ooh, no. Season three.
Okay. There's hope.
That's the goal. But yeah, so we have a lot of new roles. We're going to have some new faces, new voices, faces, all that thing.
What do you do that most people don't?
It's very deep and philosophical.
It's very deep. I think you can read it in lots of ways. This is a question from Robert of Cudmore.
I'm not bashing any podcast. There's great. I mean, we do pride ourselves on keeping everything sonically pleasing, even, level, and of a very high quality. That's something I think you'll always get from Tribulation. The writing is great. Well, I mean, we had some fun with the scene with the when we're in the hospital, strapped down. That's fun, creative.
Yeah, there's some straps and
straps and chains that we
got a whole bunch of belts, and we went to the Foley room and just kind of acted out like somebody was strapped down on the asylum bed. So it's just little sprinkle things here and there to bring things to life a little bit.
Yeah, some of the car sounds are actually natural. We didn't do a ton. That was definitely my favorite aspect of the, you know, I love doing that. So that was fun.
Yes. So you mean actually, but you were in a car?
Yes. I did recordings in the car. I don't know how much of it actually got used, Cooper. How much did it get used? We're going to say it all got used. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it all got used. Everything was used.
Jonathan Mitchell sort of sings the praises of, if you have a car scene, just get in a car and, you know, record, because the ambience and everything else, you know, you can find things to emulate it, but, you know, why make yourself give this headache when you can just fling on a decent mic and get people in the atmosphere?
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, cool stuff. Grand. Oh, good. Foley. Yes, we our next episode, which is before this one, probably by a month, I'd say at least, is all about Foley with the amazing Ellie Maitland from Wildclaw Theatre. And she's got some good top tips for people. So if you haven't heard that one already,
excellent.
Get on it.
Yeah.
If you had a time machine, you could hear it next week. But yeah, so a question from Andy Wardlaw. I'd love to hear more about Zero Mile Media. It seems like a real audio production company. Is it a full-time thing? Who are your typical clients and how do you work?
As a company, Listen Up Audio is our, you know, our parent company, we'll say. Zero Mile being a division that we started, you know, when David and I were kind of starting to talk about doing other types of content and doing original content. We wanted to just brand it differently and separately from Listen Up Audio, because we had such a name as an audiobook producer, and we wanted to set ourselves apart a little bit at that time. And it's funny, we're now discussing whether that will continue or not, but we are a full-time audio producer located in Atlanta. We produce thousands of audiobooks, and every year we produce, you know, walking tours, audio tours, podcasts, right, commercials, you know, commercial VO. We kind of full-scale production, audio house, ADR, moving into game audio, and also, yeah, a lot of things that we're doing. As a company, our parent company, Listen Up Audio, we are a full-on production facility and publisher, And Zero Mile is, yeah, that's just focused on, you know, our podcast content.
I'm so excited. And how have you found that whole world of podcasting? I mean, what have been the really good things you've got out of putting out your show as a podcast as opposed to other formats?
I love the community. I love the, I mean, just the whole, yeah, the whole world. It's, you know, around podcasting. It's new. It's, you know, it's still new to me. And to, I feel like just in general, it's still fresh and it's not, it hasn't gotten tainted yet. And so I think that's exciting. And I think, like I said, the community is great. As a producer, the ability to, you know, work with creative individuals to create an actual, you know, create new content that is not, you know, again, I do a lot of audiobook production, and that's great. You're taking words from a page and, you know, creating a picture of that. It's just fun putting new content in the world.
And how do you think the whole podcast realm as a medium is going to develop? What do you think needs to happen for it to really hit the big time?
It's already much, much bigger than I ever thought it was going to be. When I first was approached to write what became Tripulation, I was not aware of fiction podcasting as a thing. Yeah, once I started telling other people I'm writing a podcast now, I started to get pretty blank stares and no one really knew what that meant.
Same.
And yeah. And now people do know what that means. And mm-hmm. if I tell people, oh, I'm writing a podcast, they go, oh, I love podcasts. Which one?
Interviews. You know, that's still, I think still a thing.
Yeah.
The fiction thing is still not broken through, I think, in the general public's mind, but we're getting there.
Let's work together to make this thing explode at some point. Yes. Oh, this goes into all these wonderful stories. I mean, I absolutely adore all the things I listen to, and I've got a ridiculous listening list, I guess, at the minute. But what kind of thing, I know I asked this of creatives, and some of them are so busy they never get a chance to, but do you listen to anything that you think is absolutely amazing at the minute? Anything you can recommend to our listeners?
I'll go out there. Limetown was my...
Yes.
Was huge for me. Even, you know, when we started working on this, that was a big inspiration for me. Their sound design, their world was huge. We're just waiting on season two.
I agree with Limetown too. I really like the sound design in Limetown, and the sound designer did a really good job just conveying the spaces and have tension with the sound design where it needed to be, and, you know, leave, you know, quiet areas where they needed to be. So it's really captivating.
And I guess with regards to all of your different skill sets, could each of you just give us a little, say, two top tips for people in your field to progress and become better at that specific skill?
Adam. Well, writing is the only tip that works is just write. Just do it and do it and don't stop. It's difficult to get people to read what you've written sometimes. Once you have that someone that you can trust and make what you've written better, you'll find it much easier. Something like Tribulation, if I was writing this as, say, a TV show, you would have never, ever seen this thing because it would have been prohibitively expensive and nobody would have bothered to make a show about a weird radio cult that abducts people. Even if I was offered an ability to adapt it for television, well, A, I would do it because I'm not dumb, but I still prefer this audio version. I think this is the natural way for this story to be told.
Oh, the purists of our listeners are going, hallelujah-ing the sky.
That's something I think that would set us apart. That, going back to that previous question, is we are creating this with no intentions of upselling it to another medium. This is created purely for audio, just to jump on Adam's back there with that point, because I think that's one thing, you know, as producers, we're not great. Sure, if that were to happen, that'd be wonderful, but it's not a thought in my mind. I only think about this in you know, the audio sense. So I think that's something that's maybe different about us.
Top tips for folks who've got, you know, studio producing specifically to contend with, what would be your top tip or two?
Heard earlier today, have the correct adapters for everything. For me, it's a lot of catch and release with production, with Tribulation, because there's a lot of, I mean, frankly, there's a lot of stress that leads up to casting and recording a large group of people to get these episodes done in a timely manner. So there's definitely a lot of pressure leading up to it. And then once it's recorded, and then once Cooper's pressure begins, that's where I kind of can sit back and wax poetic about, okay, this would sound great, and we could do this, and this would be great. And that's, so at that point, it's like, ah, oh, it's a release for me. But then we start the ramp up into the next episode's recording. So I think just time management is huge. You know, surrounding yourself with the best people you can find, I think, is a huge thing as a producer, bringing someone else's vision to fruition. That's all I'm doing here, and trying to maybe sprinkle in a little bit of what some insight and some of my own to help that happen.
Probably the biggest tip would be is to, you know, dialogue is king, and it's even more king since it's the podcast format. I would recommend, if people want to do something like this, they would study film sound without, you know, looking at the picture, kind of understanding like how dialogue will fit in the mix. I kind of feel some podcasts the dialogue's a little too hot, a little too loud. You have to mix it right where the listener kind of eases into the conversation that's going on. So, you know, just be careful with your mix and, you know, reference some other things that you feel are good sound mixes and try to emulate that kind of structure. So.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I have one other question from Robert Chauncey. What do you mean by Tribulation Live?
No, we are actually planning just a live read, an event. That's something I was kind of, I think, alluded to earlier, just in preparation to build a little bit of hype around season two. We'll have a live read here in Atlanta. Now, we are not sure yet how that will go out. It may be available for stream, online, mm-hmm. but those details are still, they're still a little hazy.
Oh, do it. I think I've been involved in performing a live show this spring, and I just think there's something exciting about it. And as a voice actor, you don't have to learn your lines, which is even more exciting.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, good. Well, we'll keep an eye out on that. Huge thank you, gentlemen. I think it's been fabulous to fathom what has happened and how. And can't thank you enough for jumping onto ADPP. So awesome. So happy creating.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Sarah.
Cool. And I just need to say thank you to Tanya Milojevic, Austin Beach, and all at Audio Drama Network, and of course our amazing Patreon users. So thank you for everyone who supports us in that capacity. So yes, well, here's to season two. Happy creating, folks, and hooray for Tribulation.
Hooray.
It continues on.
Praise be.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.